We're going to be reading quite a bit in Jonah chapter number 1, but for the sake of time, Jonah chapter 2, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord God out of the fish's belly. Y'all believe this story in the Bible? And said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas. The floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto me into thine holy temple. Our text is found in verse number 8 this morning. Why, I have no idea. In all the years of reading the book of Jonah, this verse has never jumped out at me like it did this week. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Let me read that again. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. That's what I went to look at. The scripture, salvation is of the Lord. That's what was on my heart. I went to look at it. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. You can be seated. Pray for us and pray with us. Father, thank you this morning for the word of God. I pray, dear Father, this morning that you'd help me. God, I want to be obedient. I want to be used. I want, God, you to anoint me with your Holy Spirit. I desire, our Father, that you would anoint the ears that we might hear what the Spirit of God would say to the church today. God, I pray this morning for every child of God that's in this building. I pray, God, this morning for every sinner, those, our Father, that have not yet trusted Christ. I pray, Lord, for them this morning. And I pray, dear God, that you would just have your will and your way in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Jonah is in the belly of the whale. You say, Pastor, do you really believe this story? Well, let me ask you this. Do you believe Jesus? Would Jesus lie to us? The Bible is going to tell us something over in the book of Matthew. Turn there with me for just a moment. Matthew chapter number 12, I believe it is. And we'll begin reading in verse number 39. This is what the Bible said in Matthew 12 and verse number 39. I'm getting there this morning because I tremble at what God could do with this message. I know what he's done with this message in my heart, and I tremble to think what he could do in our church with this message. But he answered and said unto them, this is verse 39 of Matthew chapter 12, an evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, have you ever heard anybody argue over whether it was a fish or a whale? You talk about stupid. The Bible said in the book of Jonah is a great fish. Jesus said, well, take either one you want and don't argue about it. Say amen. It's big enough to swallow a prophet. Amen. The Bible said as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so Shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth? Now I want you to watch this. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. God gave us these Old Testament passages. The Bible used the word ensample, which means as an example. We can learn things. We can apply things to our heart and to our life as we study the Old Testament. And I want to, this morning, observe some of the lies that are being believed by the prophet Jonah. You say, Pastor, surely a prophet wouldn't believe a lie. I'll tell you what David did. He tarried still in Jerusalem. He thought it wasn't important, amen, for him to be in the battle. He thought it wasn't important for him to be out there doing what he's supposed to be doing at harvest time. And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, that any of us are capable of anything if we get away from the Lord, amen. And so I want you to see some things. I'm just going to go down through them quickly this morning, as quickly as I can, and give them to you. Observe lying vanities. They forsake their own mercy. I'm not going to add to the Bible, but I'm also going to show you this morning that sometimes when we observe lying vanities, we not only forsake our own mercy, but sometimes the mercy of others as well. God is a merciful God. And I can say without apology this morning that God wants to have mercy on every one of us. That's God's desire, to have mercy on every one of us that are in this building today. What are some of the lies that we find in the Scripture here that you want to magnify in our hearing today? The first one I want to give you is Jonah believed that a disregard for the Word of God, that he could absolutely just disregard the Word of God and everything would be okay. I'm telling you this morning, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, we have Sunday school, we have children's church, we have the morning service, we have the evening service, we have Wednesday night service. And beloved, let me say this to you. Just because you hear the Word of God don't mean you heed the Word of God. Jonah heard the Word of the Lord. Look in verse number 1. Now the Word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, God's Word came to Jonah, and yet Jonah disregarded the Word of God. Beloved, listen to me. I'm not trying to be hateful. I'm not trying to be mean. But I'm telling you, beloved, that if you know that you ought to be baptized, you ought to be baptized. If you know that you ought to share the gospel, you ought to share the gospel. If you know that you ought to read your Bible, you ought to read your Bible. All these things come from the Word of God. If you know that you ought to be faithful to church, you ought to be faithful to church. These are things that come from the Word of the Lord. And yet, if we're not careful, we know what God said, but we disregard the Word of that's observing lying vanities. In other words, when we disregard the Word of the Lord and we believe that everything is still going to be okay. I want to tell you something. Every one of us in this building is going to stand at one of two judgments. The saved are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. The lost are going to stand at the great white throne judgment. Listen, there's no getting out of it. You can change appointments. I can change a dental appointment. I can change a doctor appointment. I can change an appointment here, change an appointment there. But there's an appointment I cannot change. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. I'm going to stand before God. You're going to stand before God. And I'll tell you this morning, beloved, what's going to matter is, what did we do with God's Word? Did we heed God's Word? Or did we disregard
the Word of God. The Bible said, oh, listen to me. A lot of the mess that's going on in our world today is because there is a blatant disregard for the Word of God. If we regarded the Word of God, we'd stop killing babies. If we regarded the Word of God, beloved, we'd stop a man and a man and a woman and a woman. If we regarded the Word of God, we'd stop shacking up in America. If we regarded the Word of God, then, beloved, we'd get the liquor off the shelf and realize God give us some good water to drink. There's a blatant disregard. And when we observe that lying vanity, we disregard the Word of God, and we think everything is still going to be okay. Let me give you this. Number two. Another lie that Jonah believed. He believed that people can be so wicked as to be beyond the reach of God's grace. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Where did God send him? He sent him to Nineveh. I want you to turn with me to the book of Nahum. Thank God it's only just over a few pages. Amen. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time finding things in the modern prophets. Amen. Just turn a few pages over. If you have a Scofield Bible, page 953. If you don't have one, you ought to consider getting one. Amen. Watch this now. Nahum chapter number 3. I'm talking about the people that Jonah was sent to. Woe to the bloody city. It is all full of lies and robbery. Before I forget it, let me just say this to you. I tried to put myself in Jonah's shoes last night. Let's just say, Brother Jason, God said, Brother Vinoy, I want you to go to Chicago. I believe I'd hunt me a ship too. How many knows what I'm talking about? Killing one another. Shooting one another. Stabbing one another. You say, Pastor, we don't hear anybody anything about it. I'll tell you why. Because it ain't a white police officer doing it. Or it'd be plastered all over the news. Every weekend, scores of people die in that city because of wickedness. The wickedness in people's heart. So what I'm trying to tell you is I tried to put myself in Jonah's shoes and say, God said, now Pastor Vinoy, I just want you to pick up. I want you to leave East Tennessee and I want you to go to Chicago. I'd say, where's that ship? I don't care if it's going to Tarsus. And it'd be the same thing. Let me just say this. I'm not picking on the Yankees if he said Atlanta. I'm just telling you, beloved, Nineveh was a wicked place. The capital of Assyria. They had been wicked for years. The Bible said the noise of a whip, the noise of the rattling of the wheels, the prancing horses, the jumping chariots, the horsemen lifted up both the bright sword and the glittering spear, and there's a multitude of slain and a great number of carcasses, and there is none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses because of the multitude of whoredoms, of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts. And let me just say this. God is still against sin. God is for the sinner, but he's against sin. Happy will be the day in our life when we as God's people learn to be the same way. Against sin. Whether it's my youngin', my grand youngin', against sin. But for the sinner. You say, Pastor, you can't do both. Well, then you don't believe how Jesus lived. You think when Jesus, they brought that woman, they threw her down there and said, Moses and the law commands that we stone her to death. What sayest thou? You think Jesus was condoning adultery? We caught this woman in the very act. First question I want to ask is, where's the man? Say amen. They threw her down there and said, Moses and the law commands. You think he was condoning adultery? And when he looked at them and he got down and he wrote something in the sand. Maybe it was their last text message. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was the address to their social media. I don't know what Jesus wrote in the sand, but I'm telling you what they done. They started dropping the rocks and running. Jesus said to that woman, said, "Woman, where are thine accusers?" Jesus said to them, he said, "He that's without sin, let him first cast a stone at her." One by one. You think Jesus was condoning adultery? You're crazy. He wasn't condoning adultery. What he was letting you know is, I can hate adultery and love an adulterer all at the same time. I can forgive her for what she's done. The Bible's talking to us here about a wicked place called Nineveh. And Jonah, I believe, the text I read to you, by the way, in Nahum, in the book of Jonah, Nineveh repents. In the book of Nahum, it's 150 years later. Watch this now. And they went right back to their old ways. Somebody help me this morning. If we ain't careful, I use the word we, we'll go right back to our old ways. We need to be careful. One of the lies was there was a disregard. He said, "I can disregard the word of God and everything will still be okay." The second lie was people can be so wicked as to be beyond the reach of grace. I want to say this morning. I need to stop and say this. That is possible for people to be so wicked that they're beyond the reach of grace. You say, "Pastor, where in the world do you get that in the Bible?" If a person has ever turned over to a reprobate mind, and that's not just over one sin, listen to me carefully. There's all kinds of ways a person could be, but if they're ever that turned over to a reprobate mind, then, beloved, they're out of the reach of grace. Harold Smith, years ago, I heard him on the radio preach a message, God's Three Deadlines. I'm telling you, it's a serious thing. It's a serious thing to turn your back on God. It's a very serious thing. There was a disregard for the Word of God. He thought people could be so wicked as to be beyond the reach of grace. Well, let me just say this to you. Listen, help me right here. Help me. Here's one of the things that I've actually had people tell me this, not just one, not just two, several, that they're beyond the reach of grace. Let me ask you this. If Nineveh was beyond the reach of God's grace, then why did God call Jonah to go? If somebody, Brother Chris, is beyond the reach of grace, why is God putting him in our heart to pray for him? Why is God putting it in our heart to love him? Why is God putting it in our heart, beloved, to witness to him? I'm going to tell you, beloved, listen, if God's a-working on this end, he's a-working on the other. The third lie that Jonah believed. He believed that you could hide from God. Verse 3. Verse 2, the Bible said their wickedness has come up before me. And Jonah thought, they're so wicked, there ain't no help for them. They ain't no hope for them. Verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. Look at these words. From the presence of the Lord. Let me just stop right here. Time out. I want to tell you a bad mistake I made with my first two children. Miss Eve and I had two children, and then it was still Miss Eve and I that had two 8 years later. So we had a total of four. Two plus two equals four. But I'm going to tell you a bad mistake I made with my first two children. This is what I taught them. You do wrong, and your daddy will find out about it. You say, that's a mistake? I'm just telling you. A lot of it was because of experience. I would find out about it. But you know what I should have taught them? Don't matter where you are. God knows what you're doing. God sees what you're doing. Don't matter what you're doing. If daddy never knows what you're doing, God knows what you're doing. I learned that. It's a mistake to make people think they got to live up to your expectations when there's a God in heaven. Amen. My children are not going to stand before me in the day of judgment. They're going to stand before him. And the Word of God, it's a mistake. The Bible said here, he rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. You say, Pastor, you think it's a mistake to think that you can hide from God? I know it is. Psalm 139. Listen to what the Bible said. In Psalm 139, I'll begin reading in verse number 7. The Bible said, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, isn't that good how that lines up with Jonah? Even there shall thy right hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness as the light are both alike to thee. Let me tell you what's went on in our world. There's people that think they can hide from God. Let me tell you what's happened. We've seen it. We've seen it in our generation. Used to, Brother Mike, all the meanness went on at night. No more. They know there's cameras all over New York City. I mean, every intersection, every subway. They don't wait till night anymore. They shove somebody off in front of the subway in broad daylight. Say amen. Somebody shove somebody out and shoot somebody in broad daylight, knowing it's being recorded. I'm going to tell you this, beloved. The harder men's hearts get, the harder it is to reach them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The third lie that Jonah believed, forsaking his own mercy, is that he could hide from the presence of the Lord. He could hide from God. They used to have a saying, Brother Jason, you were talking about writing down some of them old sayings. You can run, but you can't hide. There's yet another one to go in that book, Brother. Amen. Give me a little credit somewhere in the back of the book or something. Amen. You can run, but you can't hide. You can't hide. You can't hide from God. Watch this now. And here's where God's going to speak to the church. How many wants God to speak to you? Now listen to me. You shouldn't have done that. Unless you meant it. But here's where God's going to speak to the church. The third lie that Jonah believed was it was okay to sleep while the people all around him were in peril. Instead of reading the Bible, let me just tell you what it says. Jonah went down into the sides of the ship. And the Word of God said he fell fast asleep. Is that right? It's right there in the book. You know what? He thought, it's okay for me to sleep. People were in peril. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. Listen to me. Listen to me carefully. Right here in Kingsport, Tennessee. Not a place in the world I'd rather live than right here in East Tennessee. But people are in peril all around us. In danger of dropping off into hell all around us. And beloved, I'm going to ask you something. Are we awake or are we asleep? The Bible said, now, it says, it's high time that we awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. If I was to start asking questions, how many believes that, beloved, we're living in the midnight hour? Amen. We don't just sing about it, Brother Dale. We're living there, honey. We're living on the threshold of the coming of the Son of the Lord. Amen. The Lord Jesus is coming for His own. And we're living there. You say, Pastor, I'm not asleep. Let me ask you a question. Did you give anybody a gospel tract last week? Did you pray for a sinner last week? Did you make a phone call, a text message, or a visit last week? Did you invite somebody to the house of God last week? You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, beloved, we can criticize Jonah for going down in there. The storm was going on up top. I mean, the waves were crashing. And we can criticize if we want to, but if we're not careful, we're just as fast asleep while the world's dying without God and going to hell all around us. Fast asleep. I don't know exactly what that means, but it might have meant he was snoring. I believe it means he was in a deep sleep. I tell you, any church, not just our church, But if the membership of that church was to wake up, God could send revival. If somebody down at the Walmart checking out groceries got an invitation 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 times in the same week to the same church, somebody help me. Oh, no, I ain't got time for that. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen, we need to wake up. I said we need to wake up. There's too much at stake to be asleep on God. Another text that comes to my mind is over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. That's the great resurrection chapter. Amen? That's the chapter that teaches us, beloved, that we're going to get up one day. Victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Amen? And the last verse in the chapter said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We'll dedicate our lives to everything under the sun except the work of God. God help us. I said, God help us. We better wake up. Let's not criticize Jonah. You know what Paul said in the middle of that chapter? That resurrection chapter. He said, awake to righteousness. And then he said, sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. Paul's talking to the church of Corinth. That's the ones, Brother Chris, that's down there saying, I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Cephas. I'm going to tell you something. If you ain't of Jesus, you're in trouble. Amen. Brother May said, a guy walked up to him one time and said, you saved me in a revival. Brother May said, that's what's wrong with you. Honey, if Jesus didn't save you, you're in trouble. Say amen. In that carnal church, Paul said, awake to righteousness. Sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. Corinth was a cesspool of sin. And he said, I speak this to your shame. I don't know about you. I've had it said to me several times in my life, and I don't take kindly to it. Has anybody ever said to you, shame on you? You're grinning, Sister Carol. Are you with me? Shame on you. That hurts, don't it? Down deep. Especially when you know you ought to be ashamed of what you said or what you did or what you failed to do. I learned this yesterday evening. It's not original with me, but Sister Linda, I learned something. Brother Don would like this. Every sin is a sin of omission. I've preached for years. You have sins of commission and you have sins of omission. And that's true. But this preacher said it and I believe he's right. I examined my life. I believe he's exactly right. Every sin is a sin of omission. You know what he said? He said if you're doing what you're supposed to do, there ain't no way you can be doing what you're not supposed to do. Now you think about that. One of our problems, Brother Jason, you was talking about that battle this morning. One of the keys, one of the secrets, if David would have been in the harvest and been in the battle, he wouldn't have lusted. He wouldn't have slept with Bathsheba. He wouldn't have got Uriah killed. He wouldn't have tried to cover it up. So it was a sin of omission that caused him to commit adultery. Well, I better move on. If I stay there very long, I'll lose you all. Before God would let me preach, after he dealt with my heart, you know what I had to do? Oh, God. I ain't telling you the rest. It ain't none of your business. I had to fall on my face. Pour my heart out to God. Oh, you say, preacher, you always do the right thing. Are you crazy? Are you crazy? I'm built out of the same stinking flesh you're built out of. I'm fighting the same stinking battle you're fighting. It's a lie to believe it's okay to sleep while people all around you are perishing. I won't read all of the text, but in verse number 5, the mariners were afraid and they cried every man unto his God. And cast, you see, that's a little G right there. I want y'all to notice that. I'll come back to that later in the message. And they cast forth the wares that were in the ship to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. If every one of us that's saved would go out of here this week and just share a testimony with one person, just I'd like to tell you what the Lord did for me. I'd like to tell you how He changed my life. I'd like to invite you to come down and hear our pastor preach and hear the Word of God. I'd like for you to come down and listen to our choir. They do such a great job. I'd like for you to come down and meet my Sunday school teacher. He studies every week, prepares a lesson for us. Is anybody getting the message this morning? How many sinners did you call their name last week in prayer? People that you're not judging them, but they tell you they're lost. You know they're lost. Beloved, we can't sleep while others are perishing. Amen. We need to wake up. Let me give you this. I'm just going to... They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Believe we can disregard the word of the Lord and everything will still be okay. I believe that people are so wicked that they're beyond the reach of God's grace. They believe they can hide from God. They believe it's okay to sleep while people all around them are perishing. The fifth thing is they believe disobedience will go unpunished. Disobedience to God, listen to this, will never go unpunished. The Bible still says, a man, a woman, a boy, a girl will reap what they sow. It's not going to go unpunished. By the way, beloved, listen. I believe America's in peril. How many believe that? I believe we're in trouble. Now, let me give you a statement that will either make you mad or something. Much of it lies at the doorstep of God's house. Much of it lies, Brother Grizzle, in pulpits just like this, where men are afraid to preach what thus saith the Lord. We cannot get to a place where we believe that disobedience will go unpunished. The sixth thing, I only got two more. I'll give you this one. A lie that's being believed is, it's my life, and my sin only affects me. Thank you, Brother Doyle. It don't, does it? All these men, Brother Mike, man, they're up there doing everything they can on top of that ship. They're throwing stuff overboard. They're praying to their little G-O-D. Their little G-O-D ain't got no ears, oh, Brother Jason, amen. They're praying to some idol god that can't hear, that can't help. But they're doing everything they know to do because they know, beloved, they're in trouble. Your sin only affects you. If we, If I were to ask for a show of hands, and I won't do it right now, but I promise you in this building, pastor's hand included, there'd be hands everywhere of lives that's been hurt deeply and sorely because somebody said, I'm going to do my own thing. It's my life. I'll do what I want to do. I'm telling you, I'm so glad that I realized this morning that it's not my life, it's His. I've been bought with a price. I'm to glorify God in my body and my spirit, which are the Lord's. But I'm telling you, beloved, Jonah thought, I'll pay the fare. I'll go down to Tarshish. And he didn't realize that his rebellion and his disobedience was going to cause others to be in a storm above all storms and possibly even take their life. I'm not asking for a show of hands this morning because the Holy Ghost, He knows this room is full of people that's been affected, listen to me carefully, by our own sin. Let's get a show of hands right there. Amen. I won't ask you for a show of hands, but there's a room full of people that's been affected by the sins of others. Jonah didn't realize that. He believed the lie. It's my life. I'll do with it what I want to do. Now it's going to get a little bit better. Are y'all ready for a little bit better? You say, Pastor, thank God. I hope it can't get worse. Let me close out like this. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. That's what the Bible said. And here's the last lie that we can believe if we're not careful. There's people sitting right here today. I'm going to make a statement. Your body's here, but you're so hurt that your spirit left a long time ago. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? The last thing in the message is this right here. We can believe this lie that the situation is so bad that nothing good can come out of it. That's what we can, that we can get to a place. We can get to the place, listen, I've talked about Chicago and talked about Atlanta and talked about America. But God's people are not to get to the place, Brother Chris, where we believe the lie that nothing good can come out of it. The Bible still said, Brother Dale, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I'll heal their land. I'll forgive their sin. I'll heal their land. That's Scripture. But if we're not careful, we'll get so low. We'll think there's no hope. There's no hope for my children. There's no hope for my community. There's no hope for my church. There's no hope for my country. We can believe a lie that the situation's so bad that nothing good can come of it. I don't know why. Never seen this before. I don't know if that's the way you're supposed to say it or not. Never saw this before. Brother Randall, you got it either way, didn't you? Amen. Country boys got to stick together. Watch this. Look at verse 16. Verse 16. Well, let me start reading in verse 14, chapter 1. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Jonah's already owned up to it now. And lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Everybody with me? Look at verse 16. Then the men feared, did they fear a little G-O-D? They feared a capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. They feared the God Jehovah. And the word of God said, and the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. You can say whatever you want to. But I believe when they saw what happened, Brother Mike, they traded their little G-O-D-S's in for the God of heaven. See, Jonah had already told them, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord. And when Jonah fessed up, they threw him overboard and the sea just laid down right quiet. I believe they said, that must be him. We better not go on with these little G-O-D-S's. We better serve the Lord. So Jonah might have believed this thing's so bad nothing good can come out of it. The mariners. I'll tell you something else that good come out of it. If you read chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, then Jonah prayed. Jonah, listen, he was able to get back to the place of prayer. Some of you I'm talking to, you haven't prayed 30 seconds all week. Jonah, he probably thought, man, this situation is so bad, nothing good could come out of it. I'm going to tell you something. When you get back in your prayer closet, you get back to the place of prayer, that's something good to come out of it. The third thing under the last thing. Look at verse 3. Jonah said, for thou hast cast me into the deep. You say, Pastor, what good come out of that? Here's what Jonah realized, Brother Jason. It wasn't the mariners. It was God. It wasn't the mariners that threw him overboard. He said, thou hast cast me. Let me give you something that'll blow your mind. It looks like when you study the crucifixion that them Roman soldiers doing all that, don't it? The Bible talks about in Isaiah chapter 53, smitten of God and afflicted. Our Lord Jesus was carrying out the will of God on the cross of Calvary. Smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Beloved, this morning, you can get to the place where you think nothing good can come out of this. Now, verse number 4, you say, Pastor, what else good came out of this? He was able to look. Look at the next word again. I like it. You say, why do you like it, preacher? Because I've been in some dark places since 1987. And my God, come by and let me look again. The next thing we see in verse number 5 and 6, the waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. O Lord, my God. The next thing that I see that's good, you can believe the situation's so bad, nothing good can come out of it. But what I find good here is you can't go too deep for God to find you. Oh, Brother Fred used to sing a song and he would make a scooping motion. He'd say, God, reach way below the bottom. Honey, I wasn't on the bottom. I was below the bottom. But I wasn't too deep for him to reach me. The next thing I see in verse number 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Something good coming out of a bad situation. The old devil tell us ain't nothing good can come out of this, but Jonah remembered the Lord. He forgot his past, and he pressed on in the future. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Look at verse 1 of chapter 3, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. You ought to underline that in your Bible. God ain't done. Came the second time saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, the great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah looked for in the ship another one going down to Tarsus. Is that what it says? Jonah arose and went to Nineveh. Watch this. According to the word of the Lord. I tell you what old Jonah's doing now. He's saying, Lord, why didn't I just go from chapter 1, verse 1, to chapter 3, verse 3? Why did I have to experience all that in between? I'll tell you why. Because he believed lying vanities. And in so doing, he was forsaken his own mercy. Jonah goes in and he preaches. Nineveh repents. You know the story. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Boy, God, just give me something else if I can remember it. Help me, Lord, to remember it. How many of y'all have ever been sick at your stomach? How many have ever been sick at your stomach? Would you raise your hand? There's nothing in the world that I dread more. But I have been so sick at times that I wish I could have thrown up. Has anybody ever been there? I mean, I just wish some way or another. I'm not trying to be gross. But here's what I'm going to tell you today. Jonah, Brother Gary, made that whale sick at his stomach. Now, we can laugh and giggle at that a little bit, and we should. But here's where I'm going to ask a question. Are we making God sick at His? Because I can't remember the text, I'll have to go read it. That's what God just gave me. Revelation chapter 3, I believe it is. Might be chapter 2. I'll know when I get there. Turn your Bibles. Let's read it. Revelation. I'm done. Finished. Revelation chapter 3. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness of God. The witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You'll have to take that up with the Holy Ghost. That wasn't in the notes from last night. A backslidden preacher, prophet, made a whale sick at his stomach. And if we're not careful, we'll be a good old Baptist. Everybody else is patting on the back. And at the same time, making our God sick at his stomach. We've been saved. We've been sealed. We've got the Holy Ghost living in us. And the world's dying and going to hell all around us. We can't even take time to pray for them. Give them a gospel tract. Invite them to the house of God. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Sometimes we're forsaking the mercy of others. It ain't a message that any preacher, well, I shouldn't say that. Some preachers enjoy preaching like this. I don't. Never have. I'd rather preach something else. But I'm going to go home knowing I've minded God. Knowing God, Brother Ted, did a work in my heart when he showed me I'm a whole lot more like Jonah. Messages like this would help us not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. If we want revival, Brother Dale, and we want God to camp among us, it's going to come through humility, not through pride. It's going to come through an altar full of people. Lord, it's not my brother. It's not my sister. It's me. God, I've gotten cold. I've gotten lukewarm. We'll do that. Be about our Father's business. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. I'm not going to take the time. I thought I'd be done by noon. I just looked at the clock. But I'd love to tell you just in one evening, last Thursday evening, I'd just love to tell you about 2 hours in one evening and how God just worked. It's wonderful just to mind the Lord. Father in heaven, thank you this morning for our people. Thank you for your presence. God, you've made it easy for me to preach. It's not what I wanted to preach, Lord. Lord, it's true. Help us, God, not to be in a place where we make our darling Savior sick. Help us, oh God, to be mindful of your will. To know, our Lord, that you're still saving to the uttermost those who will believe. Help us, God, not to give up. Help us to know, Lord, that even in bad situations, God, there's so many good things that you can do. Help us, Lord. Those that are here today, God, and they've been hurt badly by someone else's choices. God, I pray you'd minister that balm out of Gilead in their heart and in their life. God, I pray today that you would minister to us, minister through us. God, we're in a storm in America. People are perishing all around us. Help us not to be asleep in the side of the boat. Help us to wake up. In Jesus' name.